Bruce here with Sports Lit 101 and all kinds of goodies on the agenda for today.
Yeah, one of the things that happens, and we will be getting in the next several weeks, a whole rash of new releases. We get the fall releases, and there are not many releases over the summer. But what does happen in the summer is you get a lot of anthologies. And it's easy to talk about an anthology in a broad way. It was more fun like what we did with Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, and talk to some of the authors and visit some of them. And I really, because of a lot of things that have happened, thought we'd talk about this Bodies Built for Game, the Prairie Schooner anthology again, because I read the most remarkable essay in here that I've read in a long time. And it really, it went home to a number of things. I think most people who pay attention to the news know that there's an epidemic of missing Native American women in the United States and Canada. The numbers are in the thousands of unsolved murders or missing persons. My friend Billy Yellowrobe, who teaches at the University of Maine, outstanding playwright, who happens to be an Assiniboine, member of the Assiniboine tribe. I'm not calling him a Native American poet and playwright. He's a playwright who happens to be Native American. He once told me that if a young Native boy has lost contact with his father and his close relatives by the time he's 12, you never get him back. Mm-hmm. And Bill went on to tell me this story about how he went to one of the most famous athletic high schools on the reservation in Montana to see a group of alumni brought back who had won all these running and cross-country championships. Virtually all of them were disabled and had all kinds of troubles that had followed them. And it's one thing to know those statistics, and then it's another thing to read this wonderful essay by Shan Ray, R-A-Y, that starts with an epigraph from Shakespeare, "Let me enfold thee and hold thee to my heart." And it's about Take's enemy, Jonathan Take's enemy. It's about how important basketball was to young Native people in Shan's era in their lives, but how as soon as high school and that was over, most of their lives fell apart. You know, we talk about the odds all the time, the ridiculousness of 11-year-old kids playing soccer year-round and the anticipation they might get a college scholarship. But when you think about how many young Native boys and girls were good enough to make it, but all the other things that they had to fight against kept them from getting there. You think about made me think about Len Bias. Made me think about other people that came from very different backgrounds, either made it in college or burned out in college or whatever. And as I read this, that particular story, I began to read the poetry in this collection that looks back at that really defines that expression we joke about all the time: the older I get, the better I was. You know, the six-yard touchdown run is now a 48-yard scamper.
Right.
So I thought, in addition to talking about Bodies Built for Game and that Take's Enemy essay, that read a couple of sports poems again this week. I won't do this every week, but I thought that the summer's a good time for that because we don't have quite as many books. This is by a poet named David Lander. It's called Team Reunion, and it takes an interesting twist. Who are these ghosts? See them. See them now. See life taking them tenderly into itself. Who are these once were men? Perhaps whispers, perhaps memory. Traces of who remembers. Even that has gone or is going. Something departs, leaving a stain in the air. Let us not see the bodies. They are horrors. Skins are gray, hair is gone, knees are knotted, and heads are bowed. They are proud of nothing. Life is eating them. They are merely simply glad of breath. It is suddenly their altar. Their field of play is now within. Their commitment deep and constant. Let us leave them to be glad, to be quiet, to make their way home, to evaporate, become nothing. Perhaps faintly, briefly, to glimpse again the welcoming sky, the startle of fresh shirts on a dazzling field, the hope for a good day, and hear again as breakers on a close-by shore, the crowd's call and the sweet, sharp whistle to play on and on and on.
Wow. That's great.
Yes, I do not know the poet David Lander, but I certainly did very much like that poem. Another great poem that I read that I really liked is called Playbook, and it's by Hannah Oberman Brindle. And one of the things I always tell people is remember that poets sometimes writing poems about themselves, and sometimes they're completely making things up. So you never know. We call it the other I, usually the capital letter I, written from the other eye. Though one of my students referred to it as the other I, E-Y-E, which I liked very much. Yeah. I thought that was very good. It's called Playbook. Every day we play football, me and the woman I love. We call it football because that's the kind of ball we use. But otherwise, there's no name for what we're doing. We don't get four tries, and there's no line of scrimmage, just an open stretch of beach between her body and mine, two lines in the sand, and this ball. This ball we've carried in the back of the car from New York to Massachusetts to Iowa to Washington, which is where we're playing now, on a yellow spit of land nearly lost to the Pacific. I know it's love because of what she does to me at night, how I would never, ever need a helmet or pads. There's never enough moon to harness, and I think I could live forever like this. Me and this woman, these nights pressed together so tight you couldn't fit a ball between us. Once in a while, late morning will strike us in a way too bright, too slow, and suddenly the light hangs like a question waiting to be answered. The one knife in our kitchen drawer is too big and too sharp to slice an apple, and our phones tell us about the world outside doesn't get service, which is just as well anyway. Since there are wars happening and we want to forget, to be convinced that rule still exists, which governs all of us, that's why we call it football. Because we want to pretend we're playing that kind of game. A hit might be too high or too low. We'd know how hard was too hard, or if one of us had won, we'd know if it was time to stop.
Man, that is great.
Go ahead. I'm telling you, the first one that I read was from an older edition of Athlon, but these are from this anthology. And I wanted to read one more of these that I thought was really good by L. Lamar Wilson, called Games. I've never been keen on clandestine pickups, men hungering for honey to shoot into, their bleeding eyes and lips moaning a message made plain by beards who ache to feel ambient heat threading through ingrown hairs, yet no bigger hands palm flushed cheeks in dark gym locker rooms, darkest corners, when I refuse behind the back passes and demand face-to-face, man-to-man D. They cower and tell all their boys I'm no good at keeping secrets, their collective lullaby. Lie, play horse, keep the balls close to the chest. Bedtime stories can be soothing that way. I hear a fifth, and with some henny helps, too. I don't know. I've never swallowed such heat. So some of these come out. Some of them are a little on the bitter side. But the great thing about this anthology is it just makes you go places you don't want to go. And then when you get there, you're glad you went. There's a wonderful poem about Diane Nyad. I mean, think about, you know,
wow.
Which I don't know if we have time for.
Yeah,
time
absolutely.
For okay, this is by B.K. Fisher. I may have to change one word. Her age makes her invisible in the water except to sharks. A blur composed of brackish fluid beneath the nimbostratus. Primetime icons love her line about striving to touch the other shore. But Oprah gets touchy on wonder and awe, questioning how there can be awe without awe and a creator. And the interview veers from the occasion of accolades for being the first person confirmed, to reach Florida from Havana by swimming continuously in open sea. Parenthetically, because persons without CNN cameras on them may have made it into the reeds before by raft and capsize and desperation, although not as many people as have not made it. That is, that way. When she touches the other shore, she emerges almost a corpse, but not thanks to IV hydration salts.
Wow.
Yeah. These, I tell you, Prairie Schooner is a really well-respected literary magazine to begin with. But the way they have pulled all the sports poems and the sports-related poems and stories, fabulous short stories in here, into this, it's like nothing. I have never seen an anthology quite like this before, and I've been savoring it.
Mm.
I also finished the Ken Burns country music thing, so you know that was taking up a couple hours every night. But I'm really savoring this.
Good. Well, that's excellent. And what's coming up next week on Sports Lit?
I'm not 100% sure about next week yet. I'm working on I think I'm getting a book tomorrow that I may have for then, but I'm not sure.
Very good.